Morning.
Have a good weekend?
Oh, yeah. Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah. We just did a lot of work around the house.
Yeah.
Just working the yard.
Yeah. Shane wanted a, our dishwasher, we've had dishwasher issues for a while. And I got frustrated with one last fall, ditched it, got a used one,
yeah.
Put it in, then it went belly up, ditched that. So, third time, hopefully.
Did you get a new one or another used one?
I got the cheapest, the absolute cheapest one I could.
Yeah.
From Sears Outlet.
Yeah.
Because they don't fucking last.
Yeah. Yeah, we really got to get a washing machine. I think something's like inside of it's broken, but I'm not going to take it apart.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out whether we're going to try to get it repaired or just get another one.
We're going to be buying new ones very soon. Yeah, and then try and get somebody to install a dishwasher, it's $200, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like, come on, really? That means I have to do it.
Yeah. So where are we going tomorrow? Do you know where it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, so you know Port Gamble.
A little bit, yeah.
You know, so you know when you're coming from, let's see, how will you come?
Lifeboat Canal Bridge, right?
No, yeah. it's on this side of the bridge.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's where I would come from.
Yeah, but would you go up 3? From Bainbridge, or would you go, is it Pond Road? I think you'd go Pond Road.
Well, I can, yeah. I'd probably go through it. Okay.
So anyway, so it depends on
where you're coming. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
but if you go, let's say you go Pond Road.
Okay.
And you enter Port Gamble with all the beautiful trees.
Yep.
And right at the, there's a sharp turn.
Yep.
You just keep going straight.
Yep, where all the fancy shops are and everything.
Yeah, just go into that.
Oh, okay.
With all the speed bumps. And then you come to the end of that, and there's like, I forget what it is on the right. Anyway, you go to the very end and turn right, go downhill, and then you kind of, at the bottom of the hill, you loop back. So it's below the bluff. If you kept going straight and just flew over the bluff, you'd probably land on it.
Okay.
But you have to kind of.
Is there a sign? Or is it obvious? It's obvious.
There's a building. So once you go down there, there's a building. You can look at it on Google.
Okay.
Maps or something. But yeah, there's nothing else down there. I think it's called New Fields. I don't know if there's a sign or anything. There's like a, you know, there's a greenhouse, a plastic greenhouse,
okay.
and just to the side of that is an actual building. It's
all right. So as most of you know, so Jen's probably not going to be around much longer. She got a job at Starbucks as a food scientist.
That's cool.
So she will let us know for sure. She's going to try to swing it where she does like 4 10-hour days or something there and still has a day here. But we'll probably know in about a week from today. We'll probably know for sure. So I think I've worked out a deal to get Giles's time. So we probably need to start prioritizing and brainstorming projects. How I'm going to do that with Giles is give him like a list of priorities and problems and let him manage his own time. We have a very small percentage of his time, but I don't want to deal with that. And let him just decide whatever it is, which will be about, so it's over the next year, about 25%.
Who is Giles?
Giles Getz. He's technically my employee, but right now I don't really pay him. He works over at NOAA. But he's good as computer programming. I think his degree's in engineering, but he's been with me and Rick since obviously forever. And so we've taught him that biology, but he's good at coding and doing those kind of problems. So I think there's several occasions where he's helped us, but I think there's right now we're at a critical point where we could identify problems like I've got some that I know I can see the code to fix it, I just don't understand it, and there's probably other ones. Anybody think of any off the top of their head?
That he can help us with?
Yes, that are kind of roadblocks.
My data.
Yeah, but you gotta articulate that in a way that he can fix it, you know what I mean? So, I mean, at least with, you know, with the, we have some, I need to transfer genomic coordinates from the two assemblies. I can point him to the right direction of how to do it, and he can, he has enough understanding to understand the code, but we can't just say fix it.
Yeah. Does he know how to use Circus? He could create, like, some visualizations.
Yeah, he could probably figure that out. That's an example of, yeah, something that where there's instructions online that are just a little bit above what I can, am able to do. Something along those lines, or anything, you know, we can take some time, maybe start a post this week of getting ideas of things that are beneficial, that are beyond what we can do. So kind of related on the staff stuff too, it kind of ties into what tomorrow, so Brent and I and Katie, we're going out to the hatchery to get some oysters for this new project. We're going to bring oysters back, probably little babies, right, 10 millimeters. And so probably going to want some undergrads to start testing out glues and stuff. So this now gets back into y'all. I'm probably going to try to recruit some people from class. So Stephen and Miranda. Am I saying that wrong? The wrong accent. That's right.
Miranda.
Huh?
Miranda.
The Russian. What do you?
Marina.
Doesn't have a D in it.
No.
Marina. You're right. So both of them have approached me. So I was thinking about maybe or make an announcement to class to about a project associated with that to bring.
They're both good.
Yeah. Well, of course, they've asked me to do something, and they've got that initiative, so they haven't followed up with me, but we really need somebody. We'll get them maybe down in the basement, or not in the basement, but in that room over there, and some glues and some setups and doing some trials, I think is probably what we'll do with them. And then if it works out, we'd love to keep them through the summer and could do a capstone. I think Marina, is asking about capstones. And then I met with somebody last week, Megan, mm-hmm. who is actually ESRM, Environmental Science Resource Management.
So not Megan in the class?
No, not Megan in the class. She hasn't the same thing. Who's very interested and excited. She's already kind of signed up to do something over the summer field work, but she's real, this project entices her, so we might try to get her too, because we'll need a lot of field work this summer, but we'll wait and see about that. Reader update. I'm still not using.
I've switched to Feedly.
Yeah?
As of Friday.
Working out alright?
It's not bad.
Reader keeps on getting these glitches in it because I think they're just not working on it.
Oh,
no,
really?
So, like, you can't share stuff directly to Google Plus anymore from Reader. And
you can, but you have to use in the upper right corner. You have to use the share button that's up there. You can't use the little widget beneath the article.
I've just given up on Reader. And Feedly's not that bad.
Yeah.
Although it was getting a little glitchy on me this morning where I had like 16 articles in one of my feeds and it never got to the end. It kept on repeating those 16 over and over and over again. I don't know why I did that.
Red Dropbox, so something must be full.
Sorry, I keep on forgetting.
No, I have. I mean, the technical lab drop boxes.
So who is that hurting?
I don't think it really hurts anybody except for people that, you know, want to come in and don't use Eagle. Like, I mean, you know, I had Jenny from Dropbox temporarily for some stuff. And, I mean, just on a personal level, there's just stuff sitting in Dropbox.
Yeah.
Nice for personal Dropbox level would be decreased since, you know.
I put a bunch of pictures on there for some students,
okay.
And they took them off, and so it's
But we've also got this select a sync option where we don't have to sync those folders, or you don't have to put your stuff in. Like, Emma can have like a portion of her stuff share with the lab, and that doesn't affect anybody except the people who share that same folder. But everybody understands that? Yeah?
I mean, it's pretty low priority.
Yeah. Yeah, I made that screenshot. There's a lot of big stuff in there.
Yeah.
Dropbox. So I was thinking it might be good. It'd be nice just to send something to Molly and them. Like, I don't know.
Well, I'm going out in June to help them, but also.
Something I usually did when I was using them a lot.
Yeah.
Using them a lot. I would just bring stuff, like just cookies or.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Apples or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
And they really appreciate that. But just when you go out.
Yeah.
They're happy to see you.
Right. Yeah, that or if we don't go out there.
Well, some people are happy with the apples.
Yeah. Something like candy and something like fruit, and something that would sit in the hatchery if they really need it right then. That's a good idea. But if we don't go out there, I don't mind just sending some to around, whatever.
They'd be excited.
And so.
If something came in the mail, like it was edible,
That
would be a big hit.
So, I mean, I'd just buy something Google Prime Plus. So how did that go in the hatchery last week?
It was good. She was really helpful.
Yeah.
She had everything set up when I got there. It was awesome. But it went well. I got everything done. I just need to take pictures and obviously extract DNA at some point.
All right, so you did counts there, so you know the counts.
Uh-huh.
So you can go ahead and look at that data, and then pictures before too long, just to look at stages. Now, how are you? What scope are you going to look at those on?
Look at what? The pictures?
Yep.
Yeah, I need to take them. I don't know how to use the microscopes.
Is that like Carolyn?
You can email Carolyn and ask her.
Is that Carolyn's scope?
Yeah, I can help you do it. Ask her
if
you say that.
Yeah.
Just say yes.
Yeah, just ask her and then just say Emma's volunteered to help show me.
Okay. Yeah, I set aside samples for that.
So is there a time limit? Are they going to degrade or not really because they're an alcohol? Just don't forget about them. Have you looked at the data yet from the counts?
What kind of data? I mean, all I have is how many
are. Is there a bar graph with error bars? Okay. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
I need to update my notebook. Just to
get an idea of how close they were in terms of the four males. It's just a random thing that I've pasted in there that I've seen it. I don't know where I saw it, but I think it applies to a lot of what we're doing. Any kind of environmental stress, this recombination stuff, something we don't really think about, but. In other species, it's parts of the genome move. So we've kind of talked about it with the transposable elements, but we almost have enough data in some instances to start looking at that, which I think is pretty neat. It really just means having genomic sequence information, but I don't know. It just seems to overlap in a lot of things we're doing, like the acidification, make increase recombination, and how do you assess that? That's kind of something new and different. For Gambles, we talked about that, so me and Brent and Katie are going out there. So I won't be here tomorrow. I'm just going to go there. I probably won't come in. I'll probably just go straight to the hatchery. Anybody else is welcome to go, but it's not too exciting. I guess Katie.
I spent enough time last week.
It's a different hatchery.
Oh, really?
This is for Gambles.
This is for Gambles.
Oh, okay.
Katie's going to carry out an elaborate knockout experiment, but me and Brent are really just going there to manage the Oli project that's starting out this summer. Identify who's going out in the field and then bring some back to start doing those trials on. Seminar series I'm still working on. I'm talking to Dan and Bill. Just maybe try to get them to come still the fourth week. The sequencing update. So where are we on the RNA and DNA stuff, Sam?
Yeah,
I mean, so I have all the logistics from genome science in school, the Illumina-iSeq stuff, and then on Friday, as part of the email that contained the logistics info, they told me that PacBio, they no longer run a PacBio thing, and sent me an email for a different contact person that I have to email.
Oh yeah, so, I'm sorry, I should have known that.
That's okay. So,
I've got her.
Yeah.
I've talked to her on the phone, so.
Okay.
Did you figure out who it was? What's her name?
Yeah, I mean, he gave me her name and email address and stuff, so
okay.
He was nice enough to do
she
that.
Also in genome science?
Yeah.
Says, yeah. Just a different lab.
Yeah, they just got rid of the machine, another lab took it over. So with the RNA, we're going with two live, we're just going to give them RNA, and they're going to put it in one lane.
Yep.
And we feel comfortable with the QC and all that, or?
Yeah, I mean, they should do it all.
Okay.
I mean, they will accept the total RNA, although I guess they did say that it should, I should clarify, they said that the RNA had to have a bin score of greater than 9 or something like that, in order to, for them to take it. So you have to, you don't have to, but generally facilities like this will run RNA through a bioanalyzer. Yeah, so what I need to clarify is, are they going to double, like, check it, and then say, okay, this does pass, or are we supposed to check ourselves? I mean, I was under the impression that they would check it, because how are they going to refuse it if
that makes
they,
sense.
They don't have a bin number associated with
sure.
it? You know, and we could just lie for you.
Yeah,
maybe it's a 10.
Okay. Yeah.
So,
okay.
So yeah. Just
a right. sequence. And we're comfortable with the mRNA. I remember early on, like, some of the kits that people were using didn't really work with shellfish because they were doing ribosome over removal versus poly-A isolation, but they're doing poly-A isolation.
Yeah, I mean,
as far as we know.
I actually have to double check on that. I mean, okay. I've read through the logistics sheet and how the samples are processed Friday afternoon, but I don't think they specifically mention what they do with them.
Because we're pretty sure that that's not doesn't really work very well for us.
Right.
And,
so we have to,
we just want to be clear because I don't know, this could be a very expensive mistake. That's, that's the all right, and then we're following up with the DNA person.
Yep.
So how about the array? How's that coming, Claire?
So I did MVD and I didn't get a high yield. But you fraction out like the unmethylated portion of the methylated portion, and I got a decent amount for the unmethylated. So I'm not sure, we're looking at mantle tissue, so this is something I've never looked at before. So I'm not sure if it's just not methylated or if I did the protocol wrong. So I'm gonna do like a PCR and run that on a gel to check that today and tomorrow.
How does a PCR on a gel check that?
I don't know, there's like positive. Because I did a control with my samples, so there's like positive controls and negative controls, and you see if there's a band.
Yeah. All right.
Because I add like methylated DNA to the control, so you know that.
How does the MVD procedure work?
How does it work?
I mean, you know your starting quantity of DNA that you put in, right?
Yeah, I put in 6 micrograms.
And then. Can you quantify the unmethylated and methylated portion?
It's like Medip in that there's like washes, and so.
How much did you recover total, like unmethylated and methylated combined?
Combined? I don't know. Like I would get like 3 nanograms per microliter for methylated, and then
Yeah, but you see what he's getting at. You put in 6 in, how much did you get out, and what proportion went to which direction? That's what he's getting at.
Like, volume-wise?
Well, he's asking you the volume, so did you get it?
Yeah, 6 micrograms went in, how much came out?
So that'd be interesting to see if at any point you lost anything, or if you recovered it, either it's not methylated and or, it could just not, like you said, it might not be methylated. But it would be worth knowing how much you recovered, however you recovered it.
So my recovery was like 4 micrograms.
Okay. So where did the other, where did the other stuff go?
I don't know, wash out.
Okay, so there's some step where you wash it. So you wash it and it can be rinsed out. Okay.
Well, I didn't do the washes because I was worried about that. So I don't know where it went.
Okay. Alright.
So, yeah, I got like half of my per gram of methylated DNA and I need a full microtome, so.
And does the kit, just in regards to the recovery, do you know if it mentions sort of expected percent recovery? You know, like some of these kits say, you know, 95%.
I did the same amount as Mac, and she got enough out.
Alright, maybe later today, me and you and Mac should sit down and go over the protocol and see.
Well, yeah, I need to run that gel first, I think.
Okay. Move it that has the controls on it.
Because yeah, I asked her about it.
And she said run the controls.
So that's the next step.
All right, how about the microstats / MSAFLPs? You want
to
look at those?
We didn't get to it last week. Planned to get this week.
Okay. Where at the biology? All right. So, yeah. All right, let me know, because I mean, I need to get at least some of the MSLP data fairly soon. So maybe if y'all are going over there and I'm free, I might go over there with you and just so I get a good understanding of how the software works. So I might, if I need to get it done.
It's only a couple hours to go over the software.
Yeah. All right, any other updates? Did we cover? So Claire, you're primarily working on this array right now.
Mm-hmm. I started the Galaxy workflow with your output data with the whole genome. So I ran that through the workflow. So I'm going to start analyzing that in more detail. All
right, we have to be concerned though because we didn't do the minus G, so we don't really know what that means.
And my VS map is still running. It's been a week.
Right. So you might want to try different VS maps. I mean, that's why we've got more. You can.
I'll try it up here today.
But we've got, you know, issues with how do we deal with this minus, not having the minus G, which combines the two strands. And so we don't want to waste too much time unless we fully understand we're doing that right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Does that mean you're working on your skylining stuff?
Yeah. One other thing to the manuscript.
Okay.
Brooke told me last week about this really cool new analysis that I could add on top of what I'm doing already, but it was developed by someone who's defending this week, so I have to wait a little while before I talk to them about it. But it sounds really cool because it's a way of kind of skyline does things at the peptide level, and so you get expression values for the peptide, not for the entire protein. And so he's developed basically this visualization to figure out, okay, if these peptides are increasing expression in your treatment, and these peptides are decreasing, you know, map them back to the protein and see if they're coming from certain regions of the protein, maybe that's the active region for this process. So I think it looks really cool.
Yeah. Here? Is he here or
yeah.
She here?
Yeah.
Are you done?
He's in Brooks' lab.
Oh, okay.
The Macross lab.
Where, I'm sorry, what department is he in now?
Genome Sciences.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be cool.
So I might go to his defense and
yeah, it might be.
If it looks relevant.
All right.
Check on lab.
What's that?
Field trip on lab.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Saturday? The
only two kids didn't show up.
Yeah. They normally like that one, right?
Boots and we're fine,
but yeah, but that was a sunny day, right? That was Saturday.
It was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Where'd you guys go? That's
Taylor.
How'd the exam go? Still bad? I can't remember.
It's okay. I'm definitely grading it a lot.
Okay. Okay. And Sam, you're dealing with this sequence stuff this week?
Yeah.
Yep.
Met you, Brent.
I got 3 seagrass going in today.
Today, yeah.
Nice. And then I'm going to breathe.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, I'm alive like a little thing. Still something I end up with. A lot of editing.
All right. Anything else?
I remember something this morning I need to share, and then I forgot it. So I'll put my Google Plus when I remember it.
You think you forgot it?
Yeah. I was like, oh great, we have lab meeting. I'll just talk to people about then. And then I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
Right now.
That's why I just write it down on this on the yeah. agenda thing.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I would.
So stay tuned.
All right. The anticipation.
I have a quick question. Is anybody using something other than Galaxy for converting FASTA to Tablet?
Yes. FASTA to Tabular?
Yeah. Galaxy, man. It's great when it works, but holy shit. I upload a 2 MB file, it uploads, and then it's been processing since last night.
I'm pretty sure that does our local version not do that? There's some key things that our local version does not do, but it might do that.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't try.
It might do that. There has been a couple of things that I figured out bash codes to do.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I started playing around with VitalPython last night. I mean, that theoretically should be able to do it like super quickly and easily.
Yeah.
But
Python or R might be.
I haven't done anything with VitalPython, so I was just struggling just to get anything to work. Period.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any chain IPA to help you through?
No, certainly not.
Was it all like that?
Oh yeah. The first one we opened, literally. Anne and Lisa opened it. We didn't know it was going to be hypercarbonated and literally exploded and like blew the chili pepper out of the bottle, like all over the ceiling and like sprayed everywhere.
Yeah.
So we knew
that. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And so we knew that they were all like way overcarbonated. So,
too much sodium.
Yeah, what is that because you bottled it too soon?
It was because we used it was part of a kit. And we use the default amount of priming sugar when you go to the bottle. And that's 3/4 of a cup of corn sugar for 5 gallons. But I believe the volume was probably more like 4 gallons. And so yeast just went crazy and just totally overcarbonated. But then the bottles with the peppers in them were crazy carbonated versus the regular ones. The regular ones were overcarbonated, but you could vent them. Like you could open the bottle, let the CO2 off. Cap them and put them back, and they're still overcarbonated, but they didn't do that crazy foaming and spewing like all the pepper bottles did.
Next time, we'll get it next time.
Oh, that's fine.
So you just wanted FASTA to Tabular?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I wanted it so that I just wanted a quick count of how many contigs were formed from that soap de novo output. So that was really the main thing.
You just want to know how many contigs?
Yeah. I mean, I could probably look at the contig index file or something like that.
Yeah. It's a FASTA file?
Well, I don't know about the index file, but yeah. The contig file is.
Yeah, so if I just do that, I just search for the occurrences of. It's probably got a name to it, right? Like contig or scaffold. So I just, the occurrences of
sometimes
that.
Sometimes even a little caret.
Yeah, or the caret. Just do a text file, just do find caret, and it says exactly how many carats and that's how many sequences there are. But you must want something more than just the number of contigs, right?
I mean, potentially. I was just going to do some other comparison stuff, so I wanted to get it into a nice tablet format so that I could potentially do some more stuff downstream.
Okay.
Just kind of.
Yeah. I don't think I've done that. What I did do is I found a way to, a little script to generate the number of the contig length for each one. So I didn't have to use Galaxy for that, which I normally done in the past, but not the what you're talking about. All right. So Emma, now you're going to do your S1, E2 of TWIF?
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's shorter than 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. Shorter than 2 minutes.
Can I ask another computing question for Emma? When the science people talked to you, they mentioned about rearranging the way that you record data instead of doing it like all across one line for one sample. You know, have sample ID weight, sample ID height, something like that. Did you go into your data and change your data around to reflect that so you can do the joining like they, like that example they provided, or were you pretty much done at that point?
I was pretty much done at that point. And I needed my data in the format that I had it in for the downstream analysis, so I would have like put it in their format and put it back in my source. And they'd already given me the code to
right.
take first play.
I've just been thinking, is there any benefit to start recording data in the way that they suggested for, you know, this downstream, you know, table manipulation type stuff?
It's probably depends on what you want to do.
Thanks.
What's unique about it?
Instead of saying like column is, you know, sample name,
yep.
next column is height, next column is weight.
Yeah.
You would have column would be sample ID, so you would have sample one, and then you would have next to that you would have the measured ID, and so then for sample one you would have height and sample one weight, and then the third column would be the measurement, and so you have double the lines per sample essentially.
Uh-huh. And there's so when they were the way they think that there's an advantage to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The solution that
I didn't totally understand that very
well. Well, basically it came down to like, hey, you know, I know this is normally how you record data in a notebook, and
yeah.
that's how I would think about it if I was recording data. But if you record the data in this fashion, it's more computer friendly and requires
less
like 50% less code to accomplish the same table joining and manipulation stuff. I've been intrigued by that.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's like you get a table with twice as many rows, but that's something very easy for the computer to deal with. But even though you have twice as many rows, it requires a single line of code to join, you know, your 30 tables as
yeah.
opposed to running a 10 line code over and over and over again, table to table to table.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe that's something that we can get them to come out here to talk more about. And
yeah, that's
show
one
us
thing
what
I've
we
been
do.
Like really
yeah.
curious about.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
All right.
No, it's okay.